It was the thrill of it. I was free and fearless. I have heard myself described as small and ugly, with sharp and bird-like features, and how I am of an extremely nervous disposition, when it's true that I am easily startled and frightened by loud noises, and I'm terrified of riding in a carriage. But my husband, Jean-Pierre, was a balloonist and not a good businessman, and in 1804 we were on the verge of bankruptcy. So we came up with a plan that a female balloonist would be something of a novelty and might attract enough attention to resolve our financial situation. I will never forget our first flight together. It was an incomparable sensation. One of our early joint flights resulted in a crash. Jean-Pierre suffered a head injury, and the shock of it left me mute for quite some time. In 1809, and still terribly in debt, my husband died, and I became the first woman to pilot her own balloon and adopt ballooning as a career. To minimise expenses, I had to be as frugal as possible when it came to my choice of balloon, so I used a hydrogen-filled gas balloon, as it allowed me to ascend in a basket that was really little more and no bigger than a chair. And because I was small and light, I was able to cut back on the amount of gas needed to inflate the balloon. Well, I was certainly a novelty. Ballooning had become a very popular spectator sport in Europe and drew huge crowds. Still living in France, I became a favourite of Napoleon, and he made me aeronaut of the official festivals. He then made me his chief air minister of ballooning, and I was required to draw up plans for an aerial invasion of England. I was able to dissuade him of this, pointing out that it was neither practical or sensible, and that the prevailing winds over the Channel would make such an invasion almost impossible. At the birth of Napoleon's son, I took a balloon flight over Paris and threw out leaflets proclaiming his birth, and made an ascent in bad weather over Naples with Napoleon's brother-in-law, the King of Naples, to review the troops. I gave many displays in Europe, but always preferred to fly at night. In 1811, I flew from Naples to Rome and ascended to a height of 12,000 feet, whereupon I fell into a profound sleep. I lost consciousness on another occasion when I had to ascend to a similar altitude to avoid a hailstorm and spent 14.5 hours in the air as a result. I flew over the Alps, and when the temperature dropped below freezing, I had nosebleeds and icicles formed on my face and hands, and I almost drowned when I mistook a marshy field for a safe landing spot. On another occasion, I landed in a forest where I had to spend the night. In the morning, a crowd of locals approached me reverently, believing me to be an apparition of the Blessed Virgin. I performed regularly at the Tivoli Gardens in Paris and had added another element to my flights, a spectacular firework display at every ascent, which I ignited and launched from the chair. I was warned this could be dangerous. I was wearing a white dress and a white bonnet with ostrich plumes. The wind was blowing strongly and I had to shed ballast to get some lift. Once I had cleared the treetops, I lit the display and the balloon was illuminated by baskets containing Bengal fire, a slow-burning, brightly coloured pyrotechnic. It must have looked spectacular. I was sailing through clouds when I realised I was making a rapid descent. The balloon got caught by the wind and the spectators cheered and applauded this change of direction. Gas had begun escaping from the balloon, so I shed more ballast to slow the descent and stayed quite calm. Above the rooftops of the Rue de Provence, the gas was exhausted and we struck the roof of a house. The ropes holding the chair to the body of the balloon had burnt through, and I got caught up in the netting and pitched over the side of the roof into the street below. My death proved a cautionary tale, either as an example of a woman exceeding her station, as with Grenville Mellon, who said, "A woman in a balloon is either out of her element or too high in it," or as a price of vanity for attempting the spectacular. I remember saying just before takeoff, so I suppose these will be remembered as my last words, "Let's go. This will be for the last time."